You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 156 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and U.S. Rider. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
We're chatting with Mary Ormsby, Equine Operations Manager at Claiborne Farm, about a day in her life working on a bloodstock farm and why they support the RRP Broodmare Division. We chat with New Vocations for a training tip and introduce you to our adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr, Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, do you want to know what one of my favorite things is?
I had 100 guesses just whip through my mind all at once, but I'm going to let you tell me.
It is feeling validated by a vet. That's one of my favorite things.
That's always a good feeling.
Yes. And I say this because for listeners who know, I get the pleasure to work with a Mareworthy Broodmare graduate. Her name is Mill Valley Girl, or just Millie, Mildred, whatever I want to call her that day. And Millie was seeming a little off. She had a light colic episode when we were having some up and down weather a few weeks ago. And nothing crazy. We had the vet out, but it wasn't anything to get hysterical over. She's just uncomfortable at the end of the day. And there's been some concern of her weight. Nothing crazy again. We've been putting it back on, but she had a dip in the winter. And I was wondering, I feel like her hormones are a little bit crazy. As someone who also has crazy hormones, having PCOS, I can relate. And I just felt like Millie and I were vibing with how do we figure out this hormone chaos? I had some counterparts who I fully respect. They have different perspectives and different experiences and all those things. They typically work with geldings though. And they were thinking it was more of the neurological route, which Millie's owners are first time horse owners. That's a very scary thing to throw at.
Yeah, that's a big word to be like, ha ha. Yeah, no.
Yes. And she's a junior amateur rider on top of that. So I have the emotions of a, almost 13-year-old.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Let's cue a panic attack. Yeah, let's not.
Exactly. So I was like, well, that just wasn't my gut reaction. Watching Millie go, I know she had a little bit of a minor accident, loss of balance in the winter and they're indoor. She's lost her balance and kind of hyperextended one of her hocks. So I knew that had happened. She outgrew her saddle. So we had some saddle fit issues. We just got that fixed. And I'm like, well, I think this is more hormone related and probably some nutrient deficiencies. And they're like, no, it's going to be neurological. You wait and see. So we called the vet. I should have put bets on this, by the way, for listeners who listen to past episodes. Maybe it would have been worth a $50 bet on the table. Who knows? and it was great. We just got the blood work back. We also had a Reiki assessment of her. So if listeners are ever interested in that, let us email me if you're interested in Reiki for horses.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it was super fascinating. And ding, ding, I was right. I was so validated that her hormones are off. That her colic was actually probably her thinking she was going into labor after having a baby.
Oh,
it just had her cycle. So her equivalent to cramps was her thinking she was having contractions and she was mentally prepping to have a baby.
Oh, honey.
I know. I was like, oh, Millie, it's going to be okay, girlfriend. So we're working on changing her feed, getting her off sugar as much as possible. Not that she has insulin issues or overweight in any way or laminitic, but again, as a PCOS girl, same thing. Sugar affects my hormones differently. So we're going to try getting her off sugar.
I feel like that's never a bad plan.
No,
in a horse's diet.
Yeah. it takes time to see results, but it's such an easy shift for most people. Mm-hmm. And they're at a boarding barn where they are going to have to provide their own grain and, you know, all that stuff, but it's possible to do. And
super.
Yeah. So we're going to see how it goes, but gosh, that validation felt so good. So I think it's just an important reminder. If you have mares, if you get a brood mare, it is really, really good to get those blood tests done to check their nutrition values, because they might have different needs or their body might respond to food differently than your geldings will. Doesn't mean you shouldn't adopt them. Doesn't mean you shouldn't bring them home. It's just good to be aware of. So just thought that was a fun tidbit, Kristen.
I love that. And, you know, I think in general, like sometimes just, yeah, regardless if you have a mare, gelding, stallion, like whatever, like if you're not sure about something, blood work is usually a fairly low cost place to get started.
Yes.
To at least figure out.
Some, like a neurological exam just to rule it out. And like this horse is actually in like top form. They did think she like had some sign of injury, which she did from the fall, but nothing crazy. So yeah,
oh, great.
Work on getting her nutrition, and it aligned with her Reiki results, which was also promising.
Mm, that's always good when, you know, you have like a non-traditional, like complementary therapy that does align with the vet prescribed therapy.
I mean, like, you definitely like have to be cautious who you bring in for sure.
Right.
So we have someone that is well respected in our area who does a combination of Eastern, but also understands Western medicine, so can speak to both.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Yeah.
So definitely vet out anyone. If you just find someone on Craigslist who offers it, maybe it's not the right path forward.
Get some recommendations.
Yeah.
Get some references. Well, and I think increasingly like vets are starting to, like, I know our regular farm vet, she also drives from New York down to New Jersey and still practices at a sport horse clinic. So she'll do, you know, the sport horse medicine, and then also kind of dabbles, and she does some Eastern medicine with some herbal remedies and chiropractic and acupuncture. And I think that's really neat to see all in one vet. So like that's, I would go that route before I just sort of, yeah, like find some acupuncturist on Facebook and be like, yeah, come put a needle in my horse. That sounds great. You know, like, like I'm going to, yeah, start, like you said, with like a vetted, in my case, is an actual vet, you know, and all, everything works complimentary. So love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely a cool thing. So we're excited to see. It'll be a slow road, but between like
it always is
for work and changing her diet, like I'm really excited to see what she'll be like in the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, exciting. And probably fun for the kid, hopefully.
Yes. And she's like a big science geek in a cute way. Like she just loves to learn about this stuff. So yeah, her wheels are spinning and she's really eager for it to, you know, add to her toolbox.
Cool.
Yeah. What's been new with you?
Oh, not a whole lot. You know, we're having a pretty mellow summer. We're not doing a lot of horse showing. My mom's been coming out and riding. So she's quote unquote taken over the ride on Wesley, which amounts to like maybe twice a week, just because, you know, she's enjoying her new retirement herself. So she has like 600 side projects going, but she does like to come and spoil Wes when she can, which he loves. He just stands there and is like, yes, groom me. So, usually like Eric and I are saddled and like kind of like patiently waiting as she's brushing his mane and making him look very pretty, which is great. And he loves that. And he already gleams like a little shiny penny anyway. So he just is like, I am awesome when he comes out.
He deserves it though.
He does. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get plucked off a meat truck, like good for you, man. You've really landed on your feet.
Won the lottery. Everyone's like, oh, a horse needs a little girl. It's like, no, a horse needs like
a retired lady.
Woman who's just living her best life.
Yes. Yeah. And for the most part, like mom is content to just like, she'll just kind of like hack around at the walk while Eric and I do, you know, whatever we're doing. And she's happy to just sort of be along for the ride and look at nature and like look at the cows and talk to Wesley. And then she's also starting to get braver about trotting him a little bit more. So she's had some pretty gnarly falls over the years and like really significantly backed down on her riding overall. And the last horse she had, she boarded at a place with a ring, which of course we don't have. We have gigantic pastures full of like natural hazards. So that in and of itself is a little intimidating. And then you've ridden Wes, you know that like he's a fairly small horse, but he moves like something that's like far bigger than he actually is. Mm-hmm. He's got that big like heave-ho into the trot. And some of it is just, you know, like the side effect of the fact that he is just not in a lot of regular work. So he's not super fit. So he just like throw his body up and forward when he trots. But if you're not ready for that transition,
Kristen.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, you know, and you're a little left behind. So, you know, he's a lovely, safe animal and I enjoy riding him, but he is a little bit challenging to ride in that regard. So we've been doing a lot of, like, I was watching her trot the other day and then she got a little off balance and off rhythm. So then she kind of like got nervous and clamped. And then he was like, oh, heck yeah, we're going to go faster. And I was like, oh, okay. So staged a little intervention. And just worked on. I was like, all right, you pick a focal point across this big old pasture and you're going to trot 10 strides, but you're going to look at that tree or fence post or whatever you're looking at. You're going to count 10 strides and then you're going to transition down to the walk for 10. And then you're going to transition back up. So a very simple transition exercise, but giving her something to think about that was looking up, not staring at the back of his head, and then counting strides out loud so that she wasn't going, you know, in her
head. It's a good distraction. Like,
yeah, have, very simple. Very simple, but like all of a sudden I was like, there she goes. She's posting.
Like anyone like, who's had a bad fall and just easing back into things, it's always my suggestion of like,
yeah, give yourself something else to look at.
10 strides of whatever you're trying to accomplish and back down.
Yeah. So, and like, yeah, just like 2 trips across the field. And I was like, look how much better that's going. And she's like, okay, yeah, I like that. I was like, okay, great. Like we found something simple to work on and it's good for him because otherwise he just sort of bullies along at whatever speed he wants because he's a spoiled little old man who's been allowed to do whatever he wants. As has Jobber. Actually, Jobber's getting quite spoiled. So I forgot how much maintenance it takes to keep a good horse good. Like a good ranch horse that's light in the bridle and handy, you know, and side passes to the gate and like does all the things that you want it to do. Like that's a lot of work.
Honestly.
So like, my like, yeah, my late work, spring.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah. But it was like my feral girl late spring, like let's gallop wantonly across the pasture is now coming back to haunt me because Jobber's like, gallop every day. And I'm like, no, we're not. No. And he's like, no. And so like now he just puts his head up and is like, ha ha ha, gallop, gallop. And I'm like, okay, listen. So yes, now we're having the doldrum summer of trying to remind Jobber that he was broke at one point in his life. So
Jobber's just going back to like when he was a rambunctious teenager.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying horse teen years because I know he's a teen in those years.
He's
I'm
an actual
like,
teen
mentally
now.
Mentally, yeah. A like 14-year-old boy who thinks he's hot stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I am speed. And then he gets winded because he's still on the steroid for the cancer. And I'm like, so part of me is like, YOLO, Jobber, like, who knows how long we have? Do whatever you want. And then the other half of me is like, can we not, though? Like, can we still just have a quiet hack? And he's like, no, wild time. So I'm glad he feels good. But yeah, I'm definitely reaping what I sowed earlier this spring and have a few minor regrets. So,
well, maybe it'll be the inspiration for your next book. You know, the successful horse films are like a girl taming the wild horse. You're taming the horse that was once tame, who has now become wild again.
Right. Yeah. This is like when that young horse girl grows up and is like, shoot.
Yes. So in a lot of ways, Kristen, I guess the end of your summer is you saving the farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll have a bake sale of steaks or something, you know.
In the county fair or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Me and
my red horse will get broke again. And maybe we'll drive all the cattle out of like a roaring flood or something.
Something. Yeah. I hope that's not the case. But you
know. No, me too. But I mean, the way the summer's going, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows, to be honest. But I can tell you what I do know, that I'm really excited for this episode. I feel like it is very like mare powered, girl powered episode with Mary Ormsby coming on and talking about, you know, brood mares and what she does at Claiborne Farms. We're going to be talking a lot about how to tell if a horse is going to be a good ride at the end of the day, which I may have given Wes some feedback at some point. And that's okay. You know what? I said it in a kind way.
Well, and you know what? I bought him sight unseen. So I mean, I saw a Facebook picture and was like, yeah, that's cute. So, you know, you reap what you sow again. That's going to be my motto of the night, I think.
Maybe.
But a good question. You know, how do you assess on a video? Because it is hard. And for a lot of us, that's how we're buying retired racehorses. So.
Yes. and how to ask for a better video if you've gotten a bad one. Although we didn't really get into that. I wish we had, but trust me, I have seen some videos where I'm like, I can't make an assessment because this horse is literally in like a pool of water or in a tiny paddock or something where they can't really see a move.
Now, in defense of the people in the water and the tiny paddocks, for some of us, that is the spring we have had, and that is all we have to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Trying to haul somewhere else if you're really trying to sell.
This is true. This is a good point.
But hopefully it needs your horse and trailer. Good selling points all the way around there. But yeah, if you're watching videos, especially if you go to our new vocation friend's website to watch theirs, you're going to get some tips on what to look for to see what kind of ride you might be getting. And yeah, I'm excited for this episode. I think it's going to be a fun one. But before we get into that, you're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. Are you seeing any of the following signs of vitamin E deficiency in your horse? Stiff, sore muscles, neurological issues, lack of energy, poorly developed top line, or a weak immune system? Studies show that vitamin E levels drop when horses don't have access to fresh green grass. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in the horse's tissue. Elevate comes in four formulas: a fast-acting, water-soluble liquid, a maintenance powder for long-term care, a concentrated veterinary formula powder, and a vitamin E and psyllium powder. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, Joy, you know, you and I got to spend the whole day together at the Thoroughbred Makeover finale last year doing the commentary and, you know, kind of running the ring all day. And we had some really lovely conversations. And I remember at one point we looked at each other and we said, oh, it's really a shame we're not recording these because we're having so many lovely chats with people from the industry. So we did the next best thing and we rounded up some of these folks and they're going to come back on. So I'm really excited today to have Mary Ormsby from Claiborne Farm with us. Mary got to chat with us at the finale and we had such a lovely time that she's back on the show. So welcome, Mary, to Retired Resource Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to share my insights and recreate some of the good things that we talked about.
Yeah. And like, who knows what other territory we'll cover because yeah, now we're just horse girls chatting horses. So yeah, who knows where this conversation will go. And yeah. I'm super excited to jump in. So yeah. So Mary, now you and I work together a little bit in my day job for Retired Racehorse Project. You are a lovely volunteer for our advisory board. So you're part of our industry outreach committee, which mm-hmm. is a bunch of industry folks who just sort of help me keep our messaging on track and help keep our RP kind of moving forward and meeting the racing industry where it's at and encouraging some growth. So very grateful to have your support and your expertise on there. But do you want to tell us? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your day-to-day job, your day job at Claiborne, and like, what does a week look like for you?
Yeah. So my official title is Equine Operations Manager. And I always kind of have this running joke where your guess is as good as mine as to what that actually entails. But it's actually just kind of a conglomerate of a bunch of different tasks. And it's really season dependent on what my primary focus is. So right now we're kind of at the tail end of our breeding and foaling season at the farm. So my primary focus this time of year is I log breedings. I keep our clients informed of, you know, any reproductive activity that's going on with their horses, new foal activity. I do photo updates, anything involving the jockey club, not anything, majority of things involving the jockey club. You know, anytime horses come or go from the farm, that gets logged through me. You know, we're a pretty big operation. So things like that are important. Not only are we a big operation, but we have a multitude of different clients all over the country. So we need to make sure that everybody is on the same page. I do a little bit of assistant work for our president and our farm manager. Not really like technically their assistants, but you know, anytime they need help with something, I do that. I am a tour guide as well. That's kind of that's not just this time of year. We have run a shuttle tour around the farm from April until October. And I do that. And I basically just take tourists throughout the farm, kind of teach them about what we do as a large scale breeding farm, you know, teach them a little bit of the farm history. They get to pet the horses. Everybody loves that. So this time of year, my focus is more focused on the breeding side of things. Now that that is starting to wind down, I am kicking it into high gear for sales season. So in addition to that stuff, I'm also our sales coordinator. So I basically manage the vast majority of everything that we do in regards to sales, the paperwork, hiring staff if we need to, you know, ordering halters, running cards, client communications with anything involving the sale, entering horses, you know, just the whole, all of the background stuff that has to do with the sale. So we're kind of in the transition period right now where breeding stuff's slowing down, but you know, we've got September right around the corner, and then it seems like October and November are just kind of right at its heel. So the summer for some people might be a little bit of a slower time, but definitely not for me.
Yeah. You're just kicking in and getting ready.
Yep. Yeah, honestly, the breeding season is sometimes the easier season for me. So,
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, what's your favorite part of the year? And, you know, obviously there might not be one answer, right? Because I think everything has its ups and its downs.
But... Yeah. And I definitely like each season for different reasons. I really, really enjoy the sale season. I like that it's fast paced. I like that, you know, there's this kind of really fun end goal at the end of the sale prep time. I like interacting with clients. I like interacting with, you know, people who are looking at the horses. I like getting off the farm a little bit. I love being on the farm, but sometimes I like a little bit of a change of scenery. So there's, right. There's definitely pros and cons to each season. But I really do enjoy the sales.
Yeah, I think you'd have to, because they are such a marathon, and that's like it's like a horse show, but more intense and weeks long.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. For sure.
I like, kind of like a seasonal horse job, right? Like, you know, I think in the equestrian world, it tends to be a little bit of kind of the same thing day after day, right? Like, especially if you have an indoor and you're in a place where you can just keep horses and work, like you're just kind of keeping horses and work all the time. And I think something that has like kind of a seasonal up and down like that job, that's so refreshing in the horse industry, because it does kind of keep you on your toes.
Yes, definitely. Oh, for sure.
I love that. Now we're talking like everyone knows what Claiborne Farm is, and there's a chance that some listeners, you know, who are coming to us from the equestrian side just may not be familiar. You know, all of us more in racing are like, oh my gosh, Claiborne, like that's like one of, you know, the historic Kentucky farms. But can you give us kind of like a nutshell version of, you know, Claiborne's place in history?
Yeah. So I think if you're going to mention Claiborne, I don't think you can not mention Secretariat.
Right.
You know, Claiborne's history and Secretariat kind of go hand in hand. He was retired to the farm the end of his race career and stood there until he passed in 89. But in addition to that, I mean, it's a farm that's been around since 1910. It's a multi-generational farm. It's been in the same family for four generations. You know, some of the most notable and the most prominent stallions have come from Claiborne. You know, we've been the breeding farm that's conceived six of the 13 Triple Crown winners. I mean, that's huge. And it's just a farm that's had a longstanding history with continually improving on the North American thoroughbred that we see. And it's, you know, a kind of a ranking that the farm continues to go in that direction. And I think we will continue even after that to go in that direction. So I think really, if you're going to talk about Claiborne to somebody outside of the racing community that really knows the farm, you just kind of have to say Secretariat. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Because your Secretariat is hands down the most well-known thoroughbred probably in the world.
Yeah. Period. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also gorgeous. If you guys have not gotten the chance to tour Claiborne, definitely put that on your list next time you're in central Kentucky, because it is, I think, one of the prettiest farms, you know, and it's stiff competition, right? Like every farm is beautiful, but like Claiborne with the big old sycamores and everything, it's just, it's a gorgeous classic Kentucky farm. So,
and it's just, you step on the grounds and you just feel the history that is in that soil. It's 3,000 acres. Like you said, the sycamores, I mean, there's a sycamore that is outside of our main visitor center that is older than the farm. I mean, it is, we've had an arborist come out to date it, and I can't remember what the exact date is for that tree, but it is older than the entirety of the farm. And it's, I mean, you just, and if you want to come visit, you might be lucky enough to have me as your tour guide, but, you know, you drive through the farm and it's just, it's one of those things where I've been at Claiborne now for 13 years and I still, certain days, sunrises will stop me dead in my tracks. And I'm just in awe of the absolute beauty that that farm is. And I, you know, I can praise Claiborne probably all the live long day because I just, you know, I'm really ride or die Claiborne. But there's something about that farm when you step on it that you just know that the history is incredible there. Even without knowing it, you can just feel it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's got like kind of a sacred feel to it.
Yes.
You know, without getting too like woo-woo about it. Like definitely, yes, you're like, oh, this place is cool. Like something special is happening here.
Yes.
So yeah, highly recommend everybody. So put that one on your list. And that kind of segues well into, you know, what we wanted to chat about, which is, you know, like you said, Claiborne's continuing to move the breed forward, but you guys are also, I think, moving the industry forward, not just in racing and breeding, you know, and developing the horse, but also in kind of setting some standards for how the industry approaches aftercare and approaches like horse welfare. So what are some of the things that Claiborne's doing? Like you guys had, I think that, is it a broodmare policy on like an age cap for what your guys, yes, are sending to auction?
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. So we have established an age cap for horses that we will run through our consignment. So we won't sell a horse older than 17. There are some rules already kind of built into the sales companies, but they are much more lax than that. And, you know, if we have a client who approaches us and they say, hey, I've got, you know, an 18-year-old horse, we'll say, hey, you know, we won't sell her, but, you know, feel free to reach out to somebody else. And we're just kind of, it's one of those things where we're going to have to stand firm in what we do and what we believe is right for the horse. You know, there is very clear data and very clear statistics on especially the lower priced older broodmares and kind of, you know, the environments that they end up in. And I think kind of what was really the catalyst for this is I believe it was in 2020. You know, we had a mare that we sold. It was a dispersal. It was, unfortunately, the gentleman passed away. So it was a dispersal that we were, you know, had to do. Sold an older mare. She was a mare that was a good racehorse, an absolutely incredible broodmare. I mean, I think she had 13 or 14 foals, which is just an absolute incredible resume. And she was a little bit older, didn't, you know, sell for a ton of money and kind of ended up in one of those really unfortunate situations that you hear about. And we brought her back simply for the sake of retiring her. She was 20 when we got her back. And she is living with, we have a herd of retired broodmares we call them our grannies. We actually have two different herds. And we brought her back. She was in Texas. We brought her back from Texas simply to give her the retirement that she was owed. And it was one of those things that, you know, you hear stories about situations like that. And when you are a part of it and you are involved with it, it just is like, oh my God, it's an absolute, I mean, it left us all gutted. We were
right.
So sad the entire situation, you know, happened, and kind of makes you think, okay, well, if nobody's going to change, we have to be the ones to start that change. So we kind of implemented that policy. We've always had a built-in retirement policy with our broodmares. It's kind of in the unspoken rule that, you know, if your broodmare lives here, she stays here until, you know, until she dies. When she's done being a broodmare, she stays here until she dies. Our broodmares are really good to us and we want to be really good to them. So we always have that spot on the farm for our mares. And we've just in the last couple of years made it financially much easier for our clients. The only amount that we charge for our retired mares is basically enough to cover their feed. So we actually lose money on all of our retired mares, but the bottom line is, you know, we actually really don't care. You know, we pay the money to buy their feed. Labor is just kind of built into that. And, you know, we do what we can to make sure that these horses are taken care of. They are the bread and butter of the entire industry. So you have to take care of them. You have to take care of the mares if you want to take care of the breed and the sport.
I love that. Like, that's just, you know, the fact, I guess, like, right, you look at a big farm and you're like, oh, well, you know, they're losing money. They're losing money. Like, I know personally, I lose money on my horses every day, but it's not my business, right? Like,
yeah.
Claiborne, you know, above everything else is a business. So for you guys to just say, you know what, it's fine. We're going to lose money on these horses, but they deserve it. They've earned it. Like, that's huge. And that really is the kind of, like, quiet leadership that the industry, I think, needs.
Yeah.
You know, well, just say, it, like, this is what we're doing.
And it might be, you know, in the current year, you maybe lose money, but in the grand scheme of things, you haven't, because these broodmares have, I mean, they've just been the absolute foundation to kind of what we are today. And they'll continue to be the foundation. And you just have to treat them as such, or, you know, the entire industry crumbles.
I love that. So, I mean, is it hard to, like, be in that role? You know, like we can sit here and be like, oh, this is such a great thing. But I mean, the reality is it's really hard to be a leader in the industry when you're leading by example like that and doing something that's, you know, a little riskier, even if on paper, you're like, we all know it's the right thing to do, but it's hard to do because it's not what the industry does. So is that challenging?
You know, I am just a big believer of the right thing is not the right thing is easy when you do it the right way, if that makes sense. So yeah. Yes, but also no. I mean, it's right. Just one of those things you have to do it. You have to do it, and you have to find a way to make it happen. And there's honestly no other option.
I love that. Like, I know you guys have put out, you know, like, it's come out in press, but like, I think Claiborne as a whole doesn't really toot its horn as loud as it maybe could on stuff like that. You know, like, you guys are just like quietly like, this is what we do. This is the way it is.
Yes, we are very quiet about the things that we do. And sometimes I feel like we're too quiet because you have to be loud and proud about what you're doing. If you're doing the right thing and you're, you know, being a leader in regards to things like that. And I think in the last few years, we've gotten more vocal. Because we've always had a pretty strong retirement program, like an internal retirement program, but it's always been a little bit on the, if you know, you know, kind of side. So right. I feel like we're getting a little bit louder about that. And we're being much more vocal about our desire to take care of our broodmares and what we do. And I mean, the retirement field, that's something we've had for years and years and years. So, you know, just making that more public knowledge, I think, opens people's eyes, and hopefully, you know, we're kind of the leaders and, you know, trends that'll continue to follow after that.
Right. Now, and of course, like, your public support of the Thoroughbred Makeover through the former Broodmare Division sponsorship, you know, I think also kind of toots that horn too, you know, to be like, hey, this is a thing we're getting behind, right? Like, you guys are just behind the aftercare of broodmares in general.
Yes.
You know, so of course, we at RRP deeply appreciate that. But I think that's a nice public way to really show your support, you know, and be a leader in that way. And it's helped, like, other farms are starting to hop on and show their support of RRP too. So yeah, so I know we personally are really grateful for that kind of leadership, because it's, you know, having a trickle down effect through the industry. So,
well, and I feel like in regards to, you know, for broodmare as a third career, I feel like it's not something that is thought of as widely as a second career for a gelding, mm-hmm. or a second career for a filly off the track. You know, that third career is not always thought of, because, you know, they either go one of two directions when they come off the track. They either, you know, go in a second career, or if they're fillies, they go on and become broodmares. And then, you know, kind of making that a little bit more public, that there is actually a third career that can happen if you have a mare that, you know, reproductively she has some issues. Maybe she's not equipped to be a good mother. Maybe she has some physical traits that she passes on that makes her offspring not great candidates for, you know, improving on the breed. It's just kind of broadening that knowledge of that third career, because I think sometimes the industry gets a little set in their ways. It's a very old school industry, and you kind of have to, you know, poke people a little bit and say, hey, you know, this is an option. We can do this. It's okay. Like, we can go in this direction.
Well, we love that. We're big fans of, shaking up this traditional industry. So
yes.
Love that. You know, and Joy in particular is our broodmare gal on the show. I have all geldings in my pasture, but but Joy's working with a retired broodmare. And yeah, we were chatting about that a little bit earlier about some of the unique challenges facing that mare that even the equestrian industry doesn't quite understand. So there's definitely educating to be done on both sides, right? Not just the racing industry, but the equestrian side as well.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kristen. Because, you know, working with the Mareworthy board and being on that now and getting a chance to see, there's a lot more care that has to go. I don't want to say it that way because it sounds like there are a lot more work, but it's just a different frame. I feel like I've had a chance to learn a lot more as an equestrian and like become better rounded of different needs that mares have, whether or not they've had foals or haven't had foals. And so I really respect everything that Claiborne's doing and the support that they're able to give to the broodmare division at the RRP, Mary. So just thank you all for that, really.
Well, you know, we're happy to do it and we're happy to be involved in this and you know, continue to nurture and care for our broodmares.
I think one of my favorite makeover memories was when you and I got to zip around on a golf cart and talk to the broodmare trainers the first year. That was really fun. They had some great stories. Would love to track, maybe I'll do that, track those ones down and just see what they're up to now, because there was such a range of horses. You know, we met older ones that had, you know, multiple foals and they were being retired. And then we met some that, yeah, reproductively had a cover, but had never carried, you know, so they were five or six. So they're basically still a blank slate. So it's such a range, you know, of broodmare aftercare. So yeah, that was a fun experience. We'll have to do that again.
Well, and it was so fun seeing how that entire group bonded together. I mean, they just became like the girl gang, you know, the broodmare gang.
Yes.
Because I joke that there are definitely two types of equestrians. There are bay gelding people and there are chestnut mare people. And if you love them, if you love a mare, you really love a mare. And those people they're just so diehard for those mares. And I just love seeing that. And I love seeing how it brought all of them together. Like they had, didn't they have shirts made? Matching
they
shirts
did. On? Yes. Yes. They had little pink shirts. That. Yep.
I mean, it's just such a community and I love it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's kind of like the microcosm of the whole makeover too. That was just like a really fun subset. So
I feel like those are my people because I felt delightfully called out, Mary, as a girly who has had four chestnut mares in her life and is drawn to working with them. Like almost all my students have chestnut mares. I'm like, this is my happy place.
You like a little like feisty, don't you?
I do. I do. I love the personality. And like to me, they're just, you know, they're gals who know what they like and who can complain about that.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
You're absolutely right.
I did have a quick question for you too, and I'm not trying to go down a negative path. This is a very bubbly one, but I always like to caution like romanticizing breeding as well. For anyone who's interested in, you know, they have a mare or they want to breed, what would you say are like the realities of some of that and like what they need to be mindful of before putting their horses through that?
Well, I think, you know, you have to be mindful of is what you're doing going to benefit the breed as a whole? I am a believer of you don't just breed to breed. You know, you don't just breed a mare because you have a mare. Is she physically a good candidate? Is she, you know, pedigree wise a good candidate? Because you want, I think you only want to improve on what you have. So if you have, you know, maybe, you know, a bloodline that maybe probably historically hasn't done well, is that going to be the smartest decision to continue that on? Do you have a mare that's really pigeon-toed? Is that going to be a smart decision to breed and, you know, potentially get a foal that is also pigeon-toed? You know, pigeon-toed is not a great physical quality to have for a racehorse. You know, hunter people, jumper people, they might look past that, but if you're breeding for a racehorse, that is something that a lot of people can't overlook. You also need to look at, you know, financially, are you prepared to maybe take the blow of, you know, having a pretty significant financial loss? I have a singular broodmare and I have so far lost quite a bit of money. And that's just the reality of it. You know, you have to be prepared for breeding is not always a cute foal at the end of the 11-month gestation. You know, sometimes there's problems with the pregnancy. Sometimes there's problems shortly after birth. Sometimes there's problems, you know, when the foal's several months old. If you own horses, you know that things can happen and you have to be prepared for that twofold. If you have a mare and a foal involved, and it can be a great thing, but you also have to be prepared for, you know, kind of the not so great things that can happen.
Yeah. And that is why I am leaving that to the good professionals of Claiborne Farm to be doing that for all of us. You guys are clearly very good at what you do. So we will let that be your thing.
Well, we have been doing it for over 100 years. I personally have only been doing it on my own for 2 years, but hopefully I can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you're with the right people to help, I'm sure. Mary, thank you so much. This has been a really cool conversation. Where can listeners go to learn more about what Claiborne is doing?
Yeah, so you can visit our website, claibornefarm.com. You can also look into our tours that we offer. They're very educational. You know, we have one that's a little bit more broodmare breeding farm heavy, and we have one that's a little bit more stallion based and history heavy. But, you know, we have quite a bit of information regarding our history, horses that we've raised, things like that on our website. So it's claibornefarm.com.
Love it. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, go book your tour. It is awesome. Tell them I sent you. Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece. It's like a spa day for your horse's back. To the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
Well, it is that time of the show where we speak to one of our lovely friends from New Vocations. And today we have Bridget Heasley joining us from the Standardbred side. Welcome back to the show, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing? How are you surviving this very interesting summer weather we're getting?
Well, yeah, we've gone from freezing cold to hot and stormy. So I guess I'm just happy that I'm not in a winter coat anymore.
That's all we can say. And that's how we're all celebrating in the Midwest. but it is nice because at least we're all able to ride, even if it's not every day, unless you have the luxury of an indoor arena. But it's not freezing. We love that. It is not hours of cooling out your sweaty horse because it was freezing. It's a much better time. It is the horse girl season. That being said, it means horse girls shopping and horse boys. But we are shopping for horses too, which is always a nice thing. But sometimes when we're looking at videos, which New Vocations does a fabulous job of posting videos of all their adoptable horses, it's kind of hard sometimes to figure out what is that horse going to feel like under saddle if you're just watching it from the ground. So what are your tips and tricks to say, you know, does this horse look like they'd be a smooth ride, or if they would make a good dressage hunter versus Western, or maybe going barrels? And who might just be a very bumpy ride, but could still be fun?
So one thing I always tell people is don't pay any attention to the rate in which that horse is traveling in the video. Because obviously, you know, these are green horses. They're just learning to use themselves. And so that alone is not going to be an indicator. So sometimes I have people, oh, that one's fast. He's not going to be a Western horse. Well, that's not necessarily true. He's just learning how to use his body. And one of the things that I like to watch is as they're going around, whether it's loose or with a rider, what are their hips doing? What is their top line doing versus what are their legs doing? And so if you watch them go and you see a lot of motion in the hips, a lot of up down or a lot of roll, a lot of lateral movement, that horse might have what you would consider a bouncier ride. You're going to feel that trot a little more, which isn't necessarily detrimental to any one particular discipline, but you're going to notice it versus a flatter, smoother top line, smoother through the hips as they go. And then if you're looking for particular performance disciplines, watching how do they use their hocks? Because even at speed, you'll see some horses take a really nice reach underneath themselves. We had a trotter that came through the program several years back that I was just blown away by his movement. I had never seen a standard bred move that way before. He looked absolutely like a warm blood in his way of going. He had a very natural self-carriage. He was very lifted in the front end, which is not super natural for a standard bred. And when he got on, he felt like a riding horse, not like a harness racer. And that was very unusual because most of them, as they start out, they move a little on the downhill, a little heavy on the forehand, and they have to learn to lift. And he had a lot of natural lift and a very straightforward trot without the roll to the hips that we get in a lot of the standard breds. I have been searching for that movement again ever since, and I haven't found it yet, but I've come close with a couple. And, you know, that was just my ideal for a hunter type horse, was one that had that very natural lifted forehand and deep hock.
So what you're saying is the hips don't lie.
You are right. The hips do not lie.
All right. Thank you, Shakira. Now we all can better analyze our videos from New Vocations. I love that.
So speaking of analyzing our horses, tell us about our adoptable horse of the week and tell us a little bit about his ride.
Yeah. So our adoptable horse of the week is a trotting gelding. His name is P.L. Jericho, and he goes by Jerry around the barn. And you will notice a lot of, he seems very uphill. When you watch him move, he seems, you know, lifted in the forehand to maybe the untrained eye because he has a lot of action in his front end, a lot of action in his hocks, but he doesn't have the natural drive and lift that the aforementioned horse had. So, however, he is still a very nice ride at a trot, and he could become a lot of great things. He has a lot of good athletic ability and, you know, could go a lot of different directions. I could see him more in the dressage ring than maybe the hunters with his action, but, you know, he might like to jump. We haven't figured that out yet, but he's very willing and is very, very handsome. He has a Morgan-esque look to him. And a big, pretty eye. And I think he will, a lot of people will find him striking, but he does have the more typical standard bred trot when you ride it. He's not the worst one I ever rode. That goes to my good pal, Wind of the North, who we adopted several years ago.
He was featured on the show.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
I loved that horse and I would have kept him except for I could not stand his trot.
Oh, I
think it's an acquired taste for the thinking horseman. That's
yes.
Trot, I was going to say, I'm like, yeah. I don't mind a somewhat bouncy trot as long as it's rhythmic, because if I have to work less for that dressage rise out of the saddle and you can get some really good extension once you build the core work, it sometimes makes it really nice for a dressage rider.
That's what I'm saying. You
might like Jerry then. He might be right up your alley. Yeah, with his bounce.
That's true. Well, amazing. Well, I'm excited to check them out. And also you have several lovely standard breds coming down the pipeline at New Vocations. So if maybe Jerry isn't your type of ride, and maybe if he is, whoever you're looking for, make sure to reach out to Bridget. She will help guide you in finding the right horse for you go to horseadoption.com. Make sure your applications are in. You must be approved first. And then Bridget will help you find the right standee for you. Bridget, thank you so much for your time today.
You are very welcome.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and U.S. Rider, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And cowside leg.
Bye, guys.